Welcome to Christ Today. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us over and over again. Thank you for our many blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. As a people, we are so very blessed in a material sense. Our wealth and blessing is bountiful. And our spiritual wealth is ever so bountiful. We are so rich that people all over the world want what we have. Some want to come to our countries, and others want to take our wealth from us, often enough through overseas scams. They want our dollars, and they want our personal information, which they can turn into dollars. And it makes me think of the scripture, "The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." That is 1 Timothy 6:10. Let's read 1 Timothy there. Let's go to 6:6. "Godliness and contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We have food and clothing, and these we shall be content with. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and onto many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with sorrows." Oh, there's wisdom in the Bible. Money, money, money. It is so often on our mind. And yes, I talk about money just plenty on this Christ Today broadcast. I talk about it because I see the historical patterns that are taking place right in front of our eyes. I'm not alone in what I see. There are quite a few people who see that our future holds some kind of a great difficulty. And I speak about it because I hope that you will get prepared and protect what you do have, the blessings of God which you have, yes, in a physical, financial sense, but also in a spiritual sense, definitely. So I hope that everyone can take good care of what they have and to be careful with everything. And yes, be aware of the world. Be aware of the scammers. They come from all over the place. Yes, they're people in Nigeria and Jamaica and Romania and India. But there's plenty right here in the United States of America. Right in our own neighborhood, there are people who want what you have. They want to scam, trick, and fool you. And we do have to be careful all the time in so many ways. There are the people who are trying to get what you have. And to them, they just might think of it as a simple business deal. And if you, they might think that if you are dumb enough to get scammed, then you deserve it. Now, you might think that's quite an attitude to have, and in a way it is. But we have to be so careful. See, in this world, we want to show the love of Christ to people. And it turns to be a good thing that we Christians do not say to the rest of the world, "If you are dumb enough to die without Jesus, then you deserve it." No, I don't mean that at all. But that is putting the same concept to what some of those scammer people will say and how they justify themselves to scam people. We have a mission field in front of us. Yes, it's the world. And yes, it's our country. And yes, it's our very own neighborhood where we get to proclaim the good news of the gospel to everyone we possibly can. We do it in different ways. Always it's different. Is there an opportunity in front of you? Take advantage of it and spread the good news of the gospel. Sometimes it will be to an international ministry or a national ministry or church. And sometimes it will be to your friends and relatives or your neighbors right next to where you live. Well, show them that kindness and talk about Jesus Christ and the good news of the gospel. And if you have it in your heart, make a money donation to the certain group that you have in your mind, a Christian group or a Christian cause or something. The money helps everybody. You do have a certain responsibility to make sure that money is spent wisely, but we all use our best judgment and we do things as well as we know how. So remember to spread the gospel to the world and to your neighborhood in the best way that you can, whatever it is. Yes, be wise. And yes, we want to further the cause of Jesus Christ. Our dollars do help, and when they're spent wisely, it's a good thing. It's better to spend the dollars than to have those dollars taken from us, whether it's by call it an overseas scam or any kind of a scam, or an actual theft, because things do get stolen also. And that is part of the awareness that we need to have, just plain as we go through life. There are people of all sorts. They're wonderful people, and they're people who would steal you blind. So use that caution. Speaking about theft, I think of inflation, because I see inflation as a form of theft. Now, in our lifetime, it has happened slowly. If you're older, you see it more slowly. And if you're younger, you can see things, the prices rising in the stores, and you know there's inflation. But there is inflation, and inflation is a form of theft because we save our money, and we expect it to have a buying power to it, but that often goes away through inflation. And that is why inflation is theft. I remember that first Social Security check in 1940, and it was issued for $22. See, that's when your money really went, could be spent on a lot of things. It went far. Your money went far. $22 was, it meant something. Today, not so much. For instance, I remember Montgomery Ward catalogs. No, I wasn't that old, but I remember seeing them. And those Montgomery Ward catalogs, you could buy a pair of dress shoes for $3 and simple slippers for 30 cents. So you know what shoes and slippers cost today. The price has been so greatly inflated. And I know I've told about the gasoline. Here in California in the early 1970s, about that time year, I remember buying gasoline for 25 cents a gallon. And buying bread for 29 cents a loaf of bread. So see, right now, before our eyes, we can see what inflation has done to increase the price. But if we were saving our money did not increase at that rate. The money got put in a bank, and it did increase, but not as much as inflation. So we are seeing things just right in these days today that is showing the inflation. Inflation is so easy to do now because of computers. It's easy to create money and inflate the United States dollar. They don't even have to print the dollars anymore. Most of our money is electronic, and that means it is on a computer screen. Transfers are made. Things are funded through electronic dollars. That's the world we live in. The rate of inflation is increasing like we never imagined. And that's the way it is in the United States of America now. Other countries have had excessive currency printing in the past. There have been quite a few countries that have printed way too much money because it was easy to get more money in that way. And that's what the leaders did. They printed money. And the process is, as money is printed, the dollar or the money loses its purchasing power. Now, I should really call it currency because that's what it is. It's paper currency. Money is something of value. Currency is a piece of paper that says it has a value. So when you overprint your currency loses its purchasing power greatly, greatly. And that destabilizes a nation. It destabilizes the society and the financial security of the nation. So having the value, the currency retain its value, is very important to the fundamentals of society. And we can see all the historical examples of that we want. It goes back, well, to ancient Rome. In ancient Rome, there was a well-established silver coin called the denarius. But over less than 100 years, that denarius in ancient Rome was melted down and other metals were put into it. So it no longer had its inherent value of what money would be, which is something of value. It became something like printed currency. And that was one of the things that caused ancient Rome to deteriorate. You can go to ancient Rome, or you can go to many countries. In the last 100 years, that same process has been going on all over our world. And we know the famous examples. We've heard of the things in Germany, how inflation made their money worthless. And in Austria, the same thing. That was in the 1920s. And in Zimbabwe, Africa, today, that's still going on. And they are now printing trillion-dollar bills. Oh, boy. That's how much value their currency has lost. In Argentina, the same thing. In Venezuela, the same thing. Their currency has lost value, has lost purchasing power. Their currencies have become worthless and unwanted. You can find the money sometimes in a novelty store, and That's become its value as a novelty item. Nothing more. What a concept to have so much currency printed that it becomes worthless. Do you think that could happen here? Right here in the United States? Oh no, the United States is too smart and sophisticated for that to happen, right? Well, yeah, it's happening right before our eyes. The dollar bills in our wallets are becoming worth less and less. They buy less and less. So, what will happen? Would you say, I don't believe the dollar will crash? But look around. Look at the people who say that a crash is coming. It's at least pay a little attention to it so that if it does crash, you are not caught unaware. A lot of popular people, popular thinking, the popular conversation goes to the dollar having trouble and becoming worth less and less and less. A few days ago, I went to a lunch with several of my Christian brothers. We used to get together pretty regularly, and it had been, I don't know that it's been a year, but it's been a while since I've gotten together with them. I was surprised to find that they both, the two that I went to lunch with, they both thought our United States economy was coming apart and that it would do so, well, anytime, maybe this year, maybe next year. So these are just regular retired men from regular jobs. They're not scholarly people. They're not financial people. They're just regular good guys, men you'd want to know. So I was quite surprised when I listened and I heard them talking about what they thought the state of our economy was, about how much trouble we are in. And I know we are listening to this broadcast of Christ Today, but money is an important part of our life. The currency as it's being printed is important to have an idea what's going on. So I think it's all right to talk about this money part because it affects every one of our lives, every one. So yeah, let's talk about money as it applies to us, how we can keep it and use it and be aware of what's going on around us. Now, I know 3 weeks ago I did talk about this. I talked about the largest hedge fund manager, Ray Dalio, how he said, this is not a recession. This is a breakdown. All will be restructured as we head into a Great Depression, similar to that of the 1930s. So I remember saying that 3 weeks ago, and then there was just about a week ago, Robert Kiyosaki, the author of Rich Dad, Poor Dad, he said that this coronavirus will lead to a depression, and everything has been planned. There is a plan to crash everything. The stock market will crash. The financial markets will crash. We can expect inflation, and then deflation, and then hyperinflation. So, things are pointing to a collapse. And why do I say this? Why do I talk about it? Because we have a chance to protect ourselves and do things that are wise before it actually hits. And yes, so many times in the Bible, Jesus spoke about money. So I think it's all right if I do on the Christ Today radio broadcast. We have lots of things going on around us to show that there's trouble in our economic system. And And I've looked at these matters since I was a young man. I've looked at different countries. I've gone to them. I've seen what is said. I've seen the troubles. And so I want us to not have a problem. And to do that, we have to be aware of what's going on. Now, I actually did see a kind of trouble where there were both protests and riots and sabotage and violence in other countries. It's not that I went because of that, but it just happened to be at the same time I was going or I would be leaving and found out that just had happened in that other country. And so there are things that just plain happen all over the world. Could it happen here? Could we have that kind of chaos? Or will things be all right? Well, as I think back to the countries where I have seen chaos or even violence, things settle back down pretty quickly because people, just in general, they want to live peaceably and people want to get along. That's just the normal condition of people. But not everybody is normal. See, I could see that that some people wanted to have trouble, just a few. A few people wanted to bring trouble into the whole society because that would bring about change. And when there is change, there is an opportunity to get to a new, more powerful position. And that's what I saw. People created problems because they wanted to restructure society and they wanted to be on top of things. They wanted to be in a position of power and authority, and they didn't care about the people. They said they did, but they didn't. So there are agitators in every society, and they want to have a new order with themselves at the top, and they don't mind violence to get there. It could happen here. Yes, it has, because it's happened so many times in so many countries around the world. Even in the last 20 or 100 years, it's happened all over. And the other thing that's happened is money has failed. It's not money, it's currency. The currency of those countries have failed and has become worthless. Absolutely worthless. Where you only can buy that money in the curio shops. It's just history. So be aware that we could have that kind of disruption in this country also. All over the world, it has happened that the communists, I know sometimes it's unpopular to say, to attach something like violence to a group of people, but that's history. That's history, and it's not being taught today. People don't realize it. But I've seen it in action. I've seen people with the communist point of view, which they say is for the people, but the thing is they are the rulers over the people, and that's kind of common to all forms of government. Anytime people want a new government and a new order, you must be very aware that they want the positions of power. In the United States, we are blessed by having the people be the seat of power. So, just be aware of it all. Watch out for the predictions that people are making. And you look for patterns. Listen to people who see those patterns and then pay attention to what might happen in the future. Be aware that people want power and influence, and they will do anything to get it. Oh, there have been some bad people in history who really don't care if other people suffer. But just be aware of it. Be careful. Watch out. Watch out for all those things. Pay attention to the events that are going on around you and see where they just might be leading. Listen, listen and think. Yeah, there are people who talk about the economics. I just said Ray Dalio, Robert Kiyosaki. There's Jim Rickards, Jim Rogers. They're talking about things like a Great Depression coming. Also, there's the retired congressman, Ron Paul. He's been speaking about this for a few years, and he's been on important committees in Congress. So he's had a position to have information in front of him and to think about it and see where things really are headed. So I like to hear what Ron Paul says. We can have disagreements too. It's okay to disagree with people, but it's also okay to listen to people who have an understanding in that area. So with him on banking and finance committees, yeah, he sees things. He knows things that we don't. And so he sees that we are going to have a breakdown eventually, economically and socially. Well, yeah, I see it too. And I was surprised to have my Christian friends, the men friends that I had lunch with the other day, I was surprised that so many people are seeing it in short term. I mean, they talked about it as this year. I don't know. Things seem to take longer, but I also know how fast things can happen. So why do I talk about this? So that you have an opportunity to see what's going around you and prepare for it. That's the thing. There's some pretty smart people and some pretty regular people who see that this is the direction we are headed. Pay attention. See what you would do. If, in fact, what they say will happen does happen, there are some things we can do to prepare. And that's what I want to urge you to do, to think about it, to wonder what to do. Look to the Bible for guidance, because there are messages all through the Bible. I know I think of the Bible giving wise words, and that's why it's important to read the whole Bible, all of it. And I know there are people who pick out one part or another. I think we all do that, a little bit at least. And there are people who cite Matthew 6:35, which talks about we don't have to worry about what we will eat or drink or what we will wear. Yeah, we don't have to worry about it. I know that's true, but we all have wants, and usually those wants have something that include and go beyond what we eat and drink and wear. I know, I think about Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 17, where he was brought bread to eat by the ravens. That was an example of God takes care. Yes, he didn't have to worry about what he was going to eat or drink. He had the stream and he had the ravens that brought him food. Oh, but on the other hand, I think of people who did prepare. I think of Abigail in 1 Samuel 25. She fed David's band of men from her storehouse of goods, and that kept things peaceable. I think about Joseph. He stored up grain for the 7 years of good times and bad times in Egypt. So we all get to figure out what our approach is going to be. Do we want to be fed by the ravens, or do we want to store up? For me, I kind of think about storing up. I think about what has happened in the panics around us. And sure, I mean, look at the very recent one with the virus. That just happened. And all of a sudden, the stores ran out of some pretty basic things like toilet paper and wipes and all sorts of food, especially the long-term foods like grains and rice and food that could be stored. Yes, people can see that there is something coming, and it just might be some pretty big trouble. So we can get through it all with God and godly wisdom, and we read about that in the Bible. America has a great history of calling on God as we, the people in America, do the work. But we call on God and we recognize His place in our lives. Our God has given us mental and physical abilities and resources to get things done. And by this, we will get through all that is in front of us, whatever it is. We do want to remember that we are dependent on God for everything, for the bread we eat, for the breath in our lungs, and for everything. The clothes that we wear, yes. The house over our head, yes. All that. We have an awesome God, and He alone deserves our praise and our worship. And that makes me think of Jonathan Cahn. He wrote that book, The Harbinger. One thing he talked about was what happens when people stop believing that God is the God of all, and we think it's within our own power to do things without God. Yeah, so Jonathan Cahn, he talked about when a man takes on that assumption that it is the man that accomplishes things without God, and then God will bring a judgment on that situation, that which is around them. His book was a long book. It was a big book to read, The Harbinger. Really and truly, I didn't read it, but I read parts of it, and I read his workbook, and I read his summary of the book. So I could see that from the history. Now, certainly I read parts of it, but anyway, the point is he describes how there was a worship that was not of God, and that was done in the high places of a number of countries, including Israel. And that is what caused Israel to, well, what should I say, be overrun militarily, to lose its place in history and then regain it again, something that has only happened with Israel. So there are examples we can see today of what goes on with nations and countries. I know I look to New York, I look to those twin trade towers, and I think those are kind of like a high place where we think of what man can do. We think of man's greatness instead of God's greatness. I think of Tom Daschle, who was a congressman at that time, and he said the bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone, and the fig trees have fallen, and we will replace them with cedars. That was Congressman Tom Daschle. And then there was a senator, John Edwards, who said a couple of years after that, the bricks have fallen, we will rebuild with dressed stone, and sycamores have been cut down, and we will put cedars in their place. See, they are trying to quote the Bible, but they didn't exactly quote it, or I don't know what version they used, but the point is that they were both saying that we, by our own strength, will rebuild and take care of the fabulous things around us, we will rebuild. And they leave God out of the equation. That's the important part to remember. They'll say, we men will do it. They don't acknowledge God. That's the problem. Also about that time, President Obama, he said about this, we will recover, we will rebuild, we will emerge stronger. And again, it's the same thing. It's about humans doing it and not an acknowledgement of God. That's kind of all of the United States leadership said just about that same thing. So we have to remember to hold God in his position of power and authority and righteousness, where we worship and praise God. Without God, we really don't have anything. And then the statements that of what we will do, they become prideful statements. We will recover, we will rebuild, we will emerge stronger. See, no reference to God. It's all about the pride of man. And this attitude becomes a curse on a nation. And with this, it, in effect, it becomes a judgment on a nation. It's a pattern that has repeated ever since ancient Israel, and it persists today. And God has consequences for man putting himself into a powerful position and not acknowledging God. So, I think what we each can do is what we can, give God praise and thanks, worship him, and know that he is the source of all. Yes. Acknowledge God through all parts of life, through our personal situation, through our physical, through our financial, through our economic. Otherwise, I think those are all parts that he gives us the consequences in. We get consequences that attack or take away from our physical, our financial, and our economic areas when we do not acknowledge him. When we think we did it, we are in trouble. Oh boy, yes. So think of ancient Israel. Think of the cultures, the societies, the countries before that. One thing about ancient Israel also is that as they developed that attitude and orientation that it was man who did it all, they got attacked by the Assyrians. Assyrians invaded their country and occupied their country, and the people of Israel had it bad at that time. It was real bad. You can say, oh no, that would never happen to America. America is too strong. Well, if God pronounces judgment, I'm afraid it's all over and done for us. So I know as I've looked through history and I've looked around the nations of this world as I've traveled and just paid attention, I say never, because some pretty big surprises have happened all over the place. And if you even go back for our lives right now, just a few months ago, who would have guessed that we would be in the position we're in now with some kind of a lockdown and no toilet paper to be found, businesses closed, lots of government things closed? Who would have guessed that such a thing could have happened, where we were told it would be wise for us to shelter in place? In some place it was a requirement. So just recognize that all these things can happen here, things we don't expect, things we never would expect. They happen right in front of our eyes, and we can be aware that there are historical patterns for all these things that we see as a pattern to actually take place right here in our neighborhood, in our country. And that includes all the things that the Bible says will happen if we do not keep God in a position of power and authority, and that we give him worship and praise, or that we will have the consequences of war or terrorism or destruction of violence and division in our land or famine and deprivation. All those things can happen here. And just use the example in your own mind of what it was like at the beginning of the year, how we thought things were going to go well, and then all of a sudden we have a panic about this virus, and things changed. Things can change again. There can be a natural disaster or a man-made disaster, and we can look at the generalizations made in that book, The Harbinger, by Jonathan Cahn. I think it's okay, because those still are understood through the lens of biblical view. And so we can look at it, we can pay attention, and we can be thankful that we have that example to look at. What shall we do? I think it's pretty important. Repent and turn back to God. That seems to be the biggest message we can have. Repent and turn back to God. I said something about that last week with John the Baptist. As a forerunner of Jesus' coming. So after that, Jesus came really, really quick to Israel. So what's coming? Boy, I don't know, but I do wonder. Nobody knows. But I think we can be prepared for all sorts of things. We can use the wisdom of what's going on in our economy. Will the dollar fail? Will we have hunger and famine? Will there be shortages of all sorts? Yeah, it could happen. It really could. And so remember that we have something to say over our own future with a level of preparedness. We can't prepare for other people, not really, but we know what we can do. Oh, and we know we can help our neighbor. That's what we want to do also. I think that says help our neighbor, not provide for our neighbor. Yes, show kindness and goodness and love to them. You get to figure that out, but I think we also have that same kind of concern and love for our own family. And that, to me, speaks of being prepared for a hard time. And what do? We have resources that we can give away. If we have nothing and are as poor as can be and have nothing in our storehouse, well, if there's a hard time that comes, we have nothing to share, nothing to give. So, to me, a wise thing to do is to have a storehouse. And that storehouse can be just of plain old things. I know that's about what I can afford, just plain, ordinary things. And if the things really do get tough in this country, everything will be appreciated, everything. It doesn't have to be those fine spices that we get to enjoy nowadays. I remember having just joy. When you don't have very much, and that's the way it sometimes has been, you really look forward to white rice with salt and pepper on it. I mean, when you're hungry, you're hungry. So I think just get the basics. And it is for the just in case. And so those basic foods cost less. And that's what I think is the best idea. Sure, have your fancy foods. That's good. But have the just in case foods also. We could have a time of difficulty, and nobody knows how hard it will really be. And hard lessons, they can be a good thing in life, you know. We often wonder, why does God allow this? Why am I feeling the pain? Why don't I have it any better? And it's a part of what God gives us. He gives us these things. Oh, there was Charles Stanley. I'm going to quickly say what he said. Charles Stanley is one of, I like him a lot. And he often puts together Bible lessons and life lessons in a way that you can kind of apply them to your own life. So here he was talking about, why does God allow us to go through trials and tribulation? Why would we have anguish over anything? And so he had 3 points. One is that God uses adversity to get our attention. There was a Psalm 25 that has something to do with that, and it reminds us that, O Lord, I trust in you, and O Lord, do not remember the sins of my youth. So that was number one. God uses adversity to get our attention. And then God uses adversity to cause us to examine that which is around us, and especially ourselves. 1 Corinthians 11:28 says, let a man examine himself. And with this, you can redirect yourself to a more godly life. You can let go of the old habits, old memories, and old temptations, and become a new creature in Christ. Okay, point number 3. It makes an effective lesson if you learn something out of difficult times, and it will lead to changes in your behavior. And it helps you to achieve that goal of actually changing your behavior. Ultimately, that is so that you will align your life with the will of God through Jesus Christ. I think that's pretty important, that you align your life with the will of God through Jesus Christ. So why does God allow diversity? Oh, I think that's why. All those reasons. And we also want the compassion of loving God and loving our neighbor. And that's always the basic of the commandments. So, with God, would you say you love and worship and obey Him? I think that's a pretty big thing, but that's what we want to do. With our neighbor, would we say that we want our neighbor to know Jesus, to go to heaven forever and not to go to hell? Yes, I think that's the kind of love that he's talking about. But we also have love and compassion in other ways, just in having the human needs taken care of. So we learn all these different things when we read Scripture. We learn more and we do more, and that's good. That's what we learn when we show love to another person. Love God and love your neighbor. And we have the different experiences in life, and that's just life. The troubles that we have can help us to focus on what's in front of us with God and with our neighbor. So if that's what it takes, well, that's what it takes. And sometimes the economic downturns also are what it takes to turn our attention to the things of God. Yes, pay attention and let us understand the patterns, see what they are, see what we want to prepare for so that we are prepared and not hurt. That's what we want. And of course, we all wonder, can it be soon coming? Is it? Will it just be a big old surprise? Well, I don't know. I know there's plenty of people who see the patterns just like I do. So you look around also, see what you think, see what you can do to prepare for the just in case. You see, we've had a whole life of having things go pretty well. And then what happens is we get to recognize what it means to see a change in front of us. And that's a part of wisdom, is to look at what is real. What is really in front of us? And not just go live based on our past experience, which has been really, really good. I mean, look, we haven't had crises, really. Well, we had a couple of them, but we got through them okay. So we can be prepared for whatever is coming. Yes, if it's hard times, prepare for hard times. And that's what I advocate, to look at the just in case. What would you do just in case hard times were coming? What would you do just in case you had to make some hard choices? How would you be prepared? Yeah, how about reading the Bible? Lots of good ideas in there. Oh, the Bible tells you lessons. It tells you all sorts of things. So read that Bible. Yes, 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 read the Bible. If you've read it once, read it again. It's full of good things. I know you know that. We get examples from all over the Bible. How do you want to read the Bible? I like page 1, Genesis to Revelation. But there are Bible reading programs, and those are good for some people too. Yes, I've done those. And you skip around through the Bible, and you find the themes. Yeah, that's good too. And some people, that's really what they need. The way I liked to do it was, as I said, to read it Genesis through Revelation, page after page. We can learn so much by the examples that we have in front of us in the Bible. And that certainly is what I hope you do. Some days you can only read a little bit. And by the way, that is what I think the key to reading the Bible is to read the Bible every day, every single day. Don't let one day pass where you have not read a chapter, one chapter. And sometimes you will want to read 5 or 10 chapters. And pretty much you can read the Bible in a year if you do that. I think that's what's been good for me. I get a much better understanding of where things are in the Bible if I read it from beginning to end, page by page, and not do it by themes. Ah, but we're all different, and you get to decide what works best for you too. So, yes, have a look at it. Have a look, figure it out, try something. The Bible is a good book. Yes, read it. And did I just say don't miss any days? That's a really important part. There are days when you get up and you just have so much to do. You have things on your mind. And you'll want to put it off and say, well, I'll just read 2 chapters tomorrow. I urge you to spend the few minutes that it takes to read 1 chapter and do that every single day without exception. That's what I found was the best thing to do when I have read the Bible. One other thought about the Bible is that I like the King James and the New King James Version so very much. If you read the King James, there's probably a dozen words that you have to get reoriented to. Like, you have to learn that when they say host, it means an army or a whole bunch of men. And you'll have to learn, like, the word smote means hit. And it could be a hard hit, or it could be hit to the point of death. So if you don't want to learn any of those dozen or so words, then I suppose the New King James is the book for you. But definitely there's some, like the NIV, that leaves out too many verses and passages. I really, really don't like that one. But that's my view. Maybe that's the one you have. And I realize that God can speak to anyone through any verse, any version of the Bible. So just read that good book and look what we can do for the world around us. Remember that we have a place in God's kingdom, and we want to fulfill that place as we show godly love to our world, to our neighbor, and even support the Christian ministries. That's a good thing, too. We will always want to remember to pray for our family and our friends. Oh, and our enemies, too. And for the people that are hurting, remember to pray for pastors and Christian ministries and for those in our government. Everybody needs prayer. And we want to be familiar with the Bible so that we can see the blessings and the problems in life around us, and that helps us to see more thoroughly and better. But now, remember that you can listen to any past broadcasts of Christ Today by going to www.christtoday.org, and that's all lowercase and no spaces. You also can get my free preparedness brochure by sending me a stamped, self-addressed envelope to John Stephenson, P.O. Box 7222, Chico, California, 95927. Now may you walk with God, and may God walk with you. We are kneeling, desperately seeking.